Gila daf hey amar aleph, Tosis, Dibra Maschil. Hava uvda v'choshle Rav lahoda Ravasi, the top Tosis. To recall, the Gemara recorded a machlokis between Rav and Ravasi concerning the need for a minyan for the reading of the Megillah. Rav's view was that if you're reading the Megillah on time, on the 14th for the unwalled cities, the 15th for the walled cities, so you could read it even biyachid. No need for a minyan. When you're reading it not on time, different interpretations what it means not on time. Either it's talking about kfarim, the small towns that back up to the Yom HaKnisa, or a situation where Purim falls out on Shabbos and you have to back it up to read it earlier. So if you're reading it not on time, then Rav holds you need a minyan. You need ba'asara. And Ravasi holds ben bezmana, ben shelo bezmana, whether you're reading the Megillah on time or not on time. So you need a minyan. So the Gemara does not have a conclusive ruling on this, but it does state that Rav acted in accordance with Ravasi, meaning even in a situation where he was reading the Megillah on time, so he made sure to gather a minyan. So Tosis deals with the issue of as to what the psak is. So we begin. Mikol makom hilchasa kavasei de Rav. That even though Tosin Diri Maschil quoted the line of the Gemara, Hava Uvda V'choshle Rav Lahad Ravasi, that Rav was of the opinion that you don't need a minyan when you read the Megillah Bizmana on time. But nonetheless, personally, he was choshesh, he was concerned for the view of Ravasi, and he did gather a minyan. So Tosin says, Mikolkom, nevertheless, notwithstanding the fact that Rav was personally machmir, Hilchasakav say the Rav. We rule in accordance with Rav's theoretical view, not his personal stringency. And we view his personal stringency exactly as that. It's not something that was meant for the public. So now Tosfos wants to prove his view, that the halacha is like Rav, that when you read the Megillah on time, there's no need for a minyan. The Rabbi Yochanan, Isa, the Bach changes the Girsa Islay, the Rabbi Yochanan holds like Kavasei, agrees with Rav, that when you're reading on time, you don't need a minyan. What's the proof that Rabbi Yochanan holds that way? Perek Sheni, Rav Yud Tes and Beis, the Ka'amar, that says over there, Akori b'Megillah Aksuva b'in Aksuvim. One who reads the Megillah, that's part of a scroll that includes all the Ksuvim. That together with the Megillah Sester, you have Megillah Shir Shirim and Rus and Dibrei Yomim and Iyov and Tehillim. And the Megillah is part of that. So you're taking this rather large scroll and you're reading the Megillah inside. So the Gemara recorded that you're not Yotzei on your Testament Aleph. It quoted that view of the name of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. And then the Gemara your Testament Beis quoted Rav Yochanan's statement after modification that the only time you're not Yotzei is if you read that large scroll, Betzibur, in the public. The direct implication is that if you're reading it in private, meaning biyochid, so then you are Yotzei, even though it's ksuva bein aksuvim. Okay, exactly what the distinction as to why the difference is between yochid and tzibur is not a topic for now. But you see from that Gemara that it speaks about reading betzibur, that has one set of halachas, that you can't be Yotzei with the Megillah that's part of a larger scroll, but directly implying that there is such a thing as reading biyochid. In which case, it's even more lenient that you're able to read it b'ksuv ben ksuvim. So you see that implicitly, Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing with Rav that there is at least a situation that you're allowed to read the Megillah b'yachid, and that must be in a situation where you're reading it on time. The Tosis continues, the fourth line from the top. We'll start from the three lines from the top. The Ka'amar Akori b'Megillah ksuv ben ksuvim. On the margin, they pointed as a girsa change here, not yotza, but lo yotza. The one who reads the Megillah is part of a greater scroll, you're not yotza. Umasik, and the Gemara concludes, in the analysis of Rabbi Yochanan's view, ha biyachid, ha betzibur, that where it's biyachid, so then you're allowed to read it in such a case, ha betzibur, and the public you're not allowed to. Alma, so this directly implies, shekoronos biyachid, there is a possibility of reading biyachid, so we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav. So Tos continues, V'chein halacha. Tos already said earlier that the halacha is like Rav. So why is he saying V'chein halacha? So probably V'chein halacha means here that it's appropriate that the halacha should be that way. The Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan. that we paskin, like the conglomerate of Rav and Rav Yochanan, because even when there's a machlokis between Rav and Rav Yochanan, the halacha follows Rav Yochanan. Rav Shmuel, so halacha k'Rav concerning Yisuri, matters of Issa v'Heter, and halacha k'Shmuel Bedini. But when it's Rav versus Rav Yochanan, so halacha always follows Rav Yochanan. Again, probably are exceptions, but that's the general rule. So Tosis continues, the Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yochanan. If there would have been a machlokas in Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan has very major weight in halacha. The Kol Shekain, the abbreviation hacha, over here, the Kaimu B'chad Shitasa, where they both have the same view. So if the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, even where he argues on Rav, so all the more so should the view be like Rabbi Yochanan when he agrees with Rav, even though they're both arguing on Ravasi. So that's Tosis' view. That is proof that we should paskin like Rav, because Rabbi Yochanan is a very significant ally, holds like him implicitly, and the Gemara and Yutes. Tos brings another proof that Allah should follow Rav. Oh, furthermore, the Ravasi Talmud the Rav Haba. The Ravasi was a student of Rav, and till the days of Abayin Rava, the general Allah is we follow the Rebbe as opposed to the Talmud. From the days of Abayin Rava, I think that we follow the Talmud as opposed to the Rebbe. Not a topic for now to expand upon that, but before Abai and Rava, which includes the generation of Rav and Ravasi, so the general rule should be we pass like the Rebbe rather than the Talmud. Ravasi was a Talmud, so we should follow Rav's ruling, notwithstanding the fact that Rav was personally Machmir Ravasi, as we said before, we view that as a personal stringency. Okay, so that's the end of the first thrust of Tosis, that we pass like Rav. Tosis now picks up the topic of Bracha. Rabbeinu Yosef Ishu Shalayim, whom we saw before, in terms of the context of Mitzvah Seishas Magrama and women's chiv in it, etc. Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Shalayim Pasak, the Af Biyachid Tzarech Levarech, that not only do we paskin like Rav, that you have the ability to read it Biyachid, but you make a bracha, which presumably would have been our default. But Tosfos wants to just corroborate that. V'chei Nimtza B'tshuvas Rashi, and that indeed is found in a response by Rashi, Sheheshiv, who responded, Nir Rabbeinu, it appears to me, D'loshen Yachid, D'loshen Tzibur. There's no difference between a Yochanan and a Tzibur. Echad mevarech v'acherim shomin. That one makes a bracha and the others could be yotze. Now, presumably, Rashi's main focus was whether or not you could apply shomea ka'one or yotze motzi. Should everyone say the bracha? Or should one person be motzi everyone else and they'll say amen? So Rashi's point is that it doesn't matter whether you're reading it with a minyan or a massive group of people. Or privately, we're just a few people without a minion. Either way, you don't need a minion in order to be motzi, in order to say Shemei Ka'one. But implicitly, Rashi is directly implying that there is a bracha, even if you don't have a minion. By Rashi discussing that, about being motzi others, he's already assuming that you're making a bracha. So Rashi is presumably is paskening like Rav, just as Tosus did. And he's further going with the automatic assumption, of course, there's a bracha. Presumably, otherwise, the Gemara should have said so. If there wouldn't have been, Tos is going to bring another proof in a moment. And then Rashi is going further and saying that you can be motzi people. And that indeed, of course, is the common practice when you have a private Megillah reading less than a minion. So the Baal Kore makes the bracha and everyone is yotze with his bracha and says amen. So Tos wants to prove it a little more, other than the fact that our Gemara is silent about that. The Chayinir Elomar, and so too it appears that we should say a bracha, Me'achar she'ochachnu kriyasa biyachid. So once we have proved, Me'achar, since. Since we have proven, Shochachnu, Kriyas V'yachid, that the halacha is like Rav, that you read it even without a minion, E Isa, Tosis now proves by negation, E Isa She'ein Babracha, if there wouldn't be a bracha, B'yachid, when you're reading it without a minion, Havale Lefrushe, you should have spelled it out. Interestingly, Tosis doesn't prove it from Agamar's silence concerning Rav, but from Agamar later, it actually discussed the bracha explicitly. Havale Lefrushe, in the parentheses, they point out the Kamon Chaf Alam Beis, which is the headquarters for the bracha. That's where it says that there are three brachos, Al-Mikra Megillah, Shasanizun Avasenu, Shechiyanu, a mnemonic device, Manach. So the Gemara Chaf Alam Beis spells out the bracha. So if it were true that B'yachid, you don't have a bracha, so in that Gemara, Havle Frushi, Mai Mevarech, the Amar, B'tzibur. That, what does it mean that you make a bracha that it spoke about there? It's only talking about Betzibor to give on Kimta a specialized case on Betzibor. Since it didn't say that, so the direct implication is that you make a bracha in Biyachid, and indeed that is the Psach in Shulchan Aruch, even Biyachid, we say all the brachos. The Bach has a slightly different gear, so it's the same thrust. Havale lefrushe, the eno mevarech ela betzibur. The Gemara Chafalam and Beis, it talks about the bracha, should have spelled out, she'ein mevarech ela betzibur, you only make a bracha betzibur. Okay, so the maskana setos is the halacha is like Rav, notwithstanding his personal stringency, that he was choshish to get a minion. And in the end of Tosus, he says you make a bracha as well. Just note in concluding this Tosus that this indeed is a machlokas rishonim as to whether we should paskin like Rav or Ravasi. And the debate is further complicated by the fact there's a debate as to whether or not Rav and Ravasi are just arguing about lichatchila, whether that in the outset you should try to gather a minion, but if you don't have one, or certainly with the evid, if you're better without it, you're able to be otzi without a minion. That's one view. The other view is they're arguing about the evid. The stakes are higher. That Rav holds that you don't need a minion. And Ravasi holds if you don't have a minion, then you can't read the Megillah. Maybe you'd read it as a zecher, but you're certainly not going to make a bracha. So there's a machlokas rishonim as to what the scope of Rav and Ravasi's debate is. And the machlokas, how we paskin. Interestingly, the straightforward reading of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Beis Yosef is the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Tur, who indeed paskins like the Rosh, which is somewhat different from the Tosfos, that we follow Ravasi, but that we maintain that Ravasi is only requiring a minion lechatchila. So that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that lechatchila was supposed to try to gather a minion for the Megillah reading, even bismana. That lechatchila should try to gather a minion for Megillah reading even when it's on time. And then the Ramo adds a leniency that if you have a minion in town, then you don't lechatchila have to gather together a minion for each and every private Megillah reading, which is, of course, the common practice. When you have a second reading or a women's reading or a private home reading, you don't necessarily have a minion. But lechatchila, again, usually you have a shul reading anyway, so it doesn't really stand out. But lechatchila, the psak is to follow Rav Asi's view, viewing Rav Asi's view as a machlokas within lechatchila. So we try to get a minion, but if you don't have one, then we're able to read without a minion, and certainly be the evid if you read without a minion, one would be yotze. So that's different from this Tosus. It's passing straightforward like Rav, which would imply that there's not even a lechatchila to have a minion as long as you're reading the Megillah on time. Nonetheless, the Ramban, who goes with the view of Tosus, which also seems to be the view of the Rif and the Rambam, so they write, it's still a mitzvah min hamuvcher, which seems to be not a halachic obligation, but a proper thing to do. It's a mitzvah and a mufcher to have as many people as possible to read the Megillah. It's the concept of Barovam Hadras Melech, to the extent that even if you have a small minion, all things being equal, assuming you could hear the Megillah properly, you're supposed to join a larger minion to have more. If you recall, this was something Tosas discussed between the lines. It sounds like that from Tosas on Gimel Med Aleph, when he discussed Kohanim being Mevat Lavoda to read the Megillah. So Tosas asks, why do you have a bit Lavoda? Why don't you just read the Megillah later? So he says that if they have an early Megillah reading, that the Kohanim should join that, don't join that group. But you'll have more Pritzumei Nisa, presumably also related to the idea of Barovam Hadras Melech. Tosas also adds in the idea of more Pritzumei Nisa. So the Ramban characterized that as a mitzvah min hamufcher, for which it's appropriate for the Kohanim to stop the Avoda to join the greater conglomerate for the reading of the Megillah. Megillah Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Tosas Dibur Maschil, Olas Ria, Afilu B'Yomtif Ma'acharin. The Gemara brought up somewhat of a tangential point here. Indeed, this Tosas is really shipping in a topic that belongs more properly in Masech Debeitza, nonetheless on the page, so I'll try to, Bezrat Hashem, do justice to it. So Gemara had described, based on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to reading the Megillah in the Kfarim, in the hamlets, so we're Makdim Liyama Knesset, we back up the Megillah reading. So the Gemara elaborates that there are certain situations, actually the Mishnah discusses it as well, there are certain situations where you're not makdim, but you are ma'achir. So the Gemara elaborates and points out that, based on the Mishnah, that when it comes to Korma Chagiga, you're ma'achirin v'lo makdimin. That if you, on Yom Tov, you're supposed to bring a special Korban Shlomim called the Korma Chagiga. And if you don't bring it on the first day of Yom Tov, so you bring it after the first day of Yom Tov. And if the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, when you cannot bring the Korban Chagiga, you're allowed to bring the Chagiga on Yom Tov, but you can't bring it on Shabbos. So if the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, then you bring the Chagiga, even the Chachila, after Shabbos. You don't bring it on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you bring it on Chol HaMoed. So that's an example of Ma'achrin. So within that discussion, the Gemara elaborates, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa that Chagiga, Uzman Chagiga Ma'achrin, that we delay the Chagiga, that's talking about a case where Shabbos falls, Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so we have to delay it the next day. And mysteriously, it speaks about delaying the Zman Chagiga. What is meant by the Zman Chagiga as distinct from the Chagiga itself? So one of three Perushim the Gemara gives is that this follows the view of Beis Shammai, that it's talking about the Olas Ria, special carbon that's brought as an Ola by each individual, and that cannot be brought neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. It can only be brought on Chol HaMoed. So Tos is going to pick up on that idea of Beis Shammai's view about the Ola Sriya. So before we begin the Tosis, let's give some background information, which is discussed in the Gemara and Beitza, Daf Yud Ches, Yutes Chaf, and as well as the headquarters of this topic, which is Masechta Chagiga, and that runs basically as follows. There are three karbonos that each individual Jew has to bring. Okay, not getting involved now, but the difference between Zecharim and the Kevos is so which women are Chayvin, which they're not Chayvin. Jew has to bring a Shalmei Chagiga, which is a Karban Shlomim, which to recall is partially eaten by the owners, and some is given to the Kohanim, and the fats that go on the Mizbech. That's called a Shalmei Chagiga. One of those has to be brought on Yom Tov, lechatchila is brought on the first day of Yom Tov, and b'diavad if it wasn't, so then there's tashlum and there's a makeup throughout the rest of the Yom Tov. Then there's an olas ria, which is a carbon ola, which is of course fully burnt on the mizbeach, literally an ola of seeing, because we have to be ola regel, and we're an ola regel to see the shechina, so to speak. So want to see and to be seen, so one has to bring a carbon as well. Lo yiruf and ayre kam, not to come empty-handed. And then there's a mitzvah every day to partake of carbon meat. And the way to fulfill that, if one doesn't have other carbon meat, is the Shalmei Simcha, the Shlomim of Simcha, which is relevant every day to eat the carbon meat. So it could be the first two are only men achayivin, but Shalmei Simcha is a machlokes rishonim, could be women achayivin that too. Okay, so the question is, which of these karbanos can be brought on Yom Tov itself, if it's not Shabbos, as opposed to Chol HaMoed? So there's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that's referenced by our Gemara. Beis Hillel say that one could bring the Shalmei Chagiga on Yom Tov, and you could bring the Olas Ri on Yom Tov. The Shalmei Simcha, which is being eaten, so that's not such a chiddush that you're able to bring it on Yom Tov, because you're allowed to do work having to do with food orientation. Even though this is a carbon-oriented one, but that is not as great a chiddush. And the Ola, that's the greater chiddush, because even though people are not eating it, and it's not, simply speaking, shouldn't have been under the purview of Ochel Nefesh, but nonetheless, Beis Hillel derived from Psukim, that this also may be brought on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai dispute that, and they say that the Shalmei Chagiga may be brought on Yom Tov, but the Olas Ria may not be brought on Yom Tov. The first available time to bring that would be on Chol HaMoed. So now, picking up on that distinction, Tosis now quotes Akasha. Tosis Olas Ria, Afilu B'Yom Tov Ma'acharin. That's the Gemara that Beis Shammai insists on delaying the Olas Ria past the first day of Yom Tov, even if it's not Shabbos. So Hiksha HaRav Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan, we saw him before also. Mehada Amrinan Perakama de Beitza, that which is stated in the first parak of Masechta Beitza, Shochet Olas Nedava B'Yom Tov Loke. The one who shechs an Olas Nedava, is a regular carbon Ola that a Jew volunteers. Not an Olas Ria, that is called an Olas Chova, that he's chayiv to bring, but he wants to bring a regular ola. So the Gemara states that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, again, there are opinions within Beis Hillel, but simply speaking, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they're only debating whether you could bring the ola sriya, the chova ola of Yom Tov on Yom Tov. But an ola s'nedava, an optional ola, that would have to await Cholamayah to bring. So the Gemara points out in Daf Yud Beis that there's a brisa that tells us Hashochet olas nedava b'yom tov loke umasik, and the Gemara that you get malchus for it, that you totally violated yom tov by shechting that regular ola umasik, and the Gemara concludes the Amar Lach Mani, who's the author of that brisa? Beis Shammai, it's Beis Shammai v'chule. Etc. in that Gemara. That's the connection to our Gemara. Beis Shammai maintains that you're not allowed to bring even an Olas Ria on Yom Tov. So that Gemara in Beitza points out that if you shecht a regular Ola, that's not a Chova like an Olas Ria, you get Malkus. So that's exactly Tosas Kasha Vikasha. It's difficult. Amai Lotani Olas Ria. That why didn't the brisa that says that you get malchus for shechting a regular optional olas nedava, if you do that on yamtif, a milo tani olas ria, because as our Gemara states in the headquarters there in Chagiga and in Beitza, that according to Beis Shammai you're not allowed to bring the olas ria on yamtif, even though it's an obligation, but that obligation will be fulfilled in Cholamayit. So why didn't the Braisa state that if you shecht an olas ria, even though you have an obligation to bring it on Chol HaMoed, or broadly speaking, on the holiday, but you still can't bring it, according to Beis Shammai, on the festival itself, meaning on Yom Tov, on the day when there's an Isser Malacha, when you can't do forms of Malacha. The Havir Vusa Tvei, that would have been a greater Chiddush. The Ava Gav Tavit Sorech Yom Tov, even though it's directly relevant to the Yom Tov, because there's a mitzvah on that 7-day period of the Yom Tov to bring the carbon. So you might have thought that you could bring it on Yom Tov. And Kamash Malon Beis Shammai had the brisa stated that you not only are not allowed to do it, but you get Malkus. Let's read the toast inside without stopping. V'kosha, amaylo tani olas ria, David Ravusa tvei, da'avagav David tzarech Yom Tov, loke aliba de Beis Shammai. Why did the Braisa and Masechta Beitza tell us that if you shecht an optional carbon ola, which has nothing to do with the Yom Tov, that you get Malkus? That's a lesser Chiddush. It could have said that according to Beis Shammai, you get Malkus even when you bring an Olas Chova, an obligatory ola, namely an Olas Ria, even though it's relevant to the holiday season, if you will. But Beis Shammai maintains you have to bring in a Chol HaMoed because it's an ola. It's not relevant to eating. So that's Tosas Kasha, which Tosas asks as well in Masechta Beitz. So now Tosas proposes an answer which he immediately rejects. V'ein lomar d'lahachi nokat olas nedava. Don't answer me that it's for the following reason that the Braisa chose to state olas nedava la'ashmeinan, in order to teach us t'afilu'achi Shoru Beis Hillel, to teach us a diuk, that it's only Beis Shammai who hold that you get Malkus, but Beis Hillel would allow it. In other words, the way I heard from Rav Hirschfeld, and when Nebuchadnezzar says an Ein Lomar, so first let's read it as a Yesh Lomar. First let's understand what he's proposing here. That Tosas Kasha was, that why did the Braisa in Masechta Beitz state that if you bring an optional carbonola, you get Malkus according to Beis Shammai? It could have told us a greater Chiddush, that if you bring an obligatory Ola, namely an Ola Sriya, which every Jew has to bring on, broadly speaking, the holiday, that you can't bring it on Yom Tov, according to Beis Shammai. You can only bring it on Chol HaMoed. Why didn't it state that greater Chiddush, even though it's directly relevant to Yom Tov, but you can only bring it on Chol HaMoed? So Tosas proposes the following answer, which we see we're going to reject, that maybe the Brais is trying to tell you a Chiddush within Beis Hillel's view, that sometimes the Chiddush is not in what the Braisa states, but in the implication of the Braisa. That it's only Beis Shammai would have you get Malkus for an Olas Nedava. But Beis Hillel would maintain that you're allowed to not only bring an Olas Ria, which is a Chova for Yom Tov, but you're even allowed to bring an old less nedava on Yom Tov. That's Tosis's proposed answer. Again, the words inside. Lashminan, the lahachi nakar olas nedava, lashminan, to teach us, for the following reason, it taught olas nedava, to teach us that filo achi, that even with an olas nedava, that's not obligatory, certainly you could have brought it the next day, sharo beis hillel, or earlier, sharo beis hillel, the basil permit. So maybe that's why the brisa are focused on olas nedava. For beishame, the greatest chiddush would be to teach you that you get malchus even for an olas chova. But by focusing on olas nedava, it's giving us a diuk that beis hillel, not a greatest chiddush, I should say, for hillel, beis hillel, that not only do beis hillel allow bringing an olas ria on yom tif, but they even allow bringing olas nedava, an optional carbon on yom tif. That is Tosis's proposed answer. So Tosis points out, but that proposed answer is just not correct. Again, to see where we are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines on the bottom. Ze'eno. That proposed answer is just not correct. The ha, since, perek sheni, the ha, some, in Masechta Beitza, in the second perek, because Yud Beis the first perek, and daf Yutes, muchach behedja, it is explicitly self-evident there, the lo nechlako beis hillel al ola she'ena shel yomtif, the vadai eina kreva biyomtif. There's no debate about that. Beis Hillel only allow an olas ria, something that's a chova that you have to bring. So Beis Hillel holds, you not only could bring in a chol hamoed, you're not only obligated to bring a chol hamoed, you could even bring in a yom tov itself. They derive from sukkim, that even though it's not food oriented, you're still able to bring it on yom tov. But an olas nedava, it's not relevant to yom tov. Stam, you want to bring a carbon ola. So that Beis Hillel maintain, that you're not able to bring it on Yom Tov. So what was Tosa's supposed to answer? That the reason it said that also davi get malchus of Bishamai, the teacher according to Beis Hillel, even that's mutter. It's just not true. According to Beis Hillel, that's not mutter. You're not allowed to bring an olas nedava on Yom Tov. Only on Chol HaMoed. So now we go back to the original kasha. Vim Kain, if so, kasha, since that proposed answer was destroyed, was rejected, Amai nokat olas nedava. Why did it choose to speak about olas nedava? It's clearly not telling you an extra chiddush for Beis Hillel, so it should have told you the greatest chiddush for Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai would hold, not only do you get malchus for an optional ola, which totally doesn't belong on Yom Tif, even Beis Hillel agreed to that, but even an olas ria, which is a chova to bring on the, broadly speaking, the holiday, you can't bring it on Yom Tov, only on Chol HaMoed. That's Tosus Kasha, which, as we mentioned, is also asked by Tosus himself to Beitza. So here's Tosus' answer that he accepts. Yesh Lomar, the Lahachi Nokat Olas Nedava. For the following reason did it choose to speak about Olas Nedava, Lemedek, to make the following diuk. Once again, as Tosus did earlier, that the Chiddush is not from the words themselves, but well, it's not the greatest chiddush, but to make a diuk that you would only be able to infer from that formulation. To make the following diuk. Ha shalmei nedava, the language of diuk. But had it been a shalmei nedava, not an olas nedava, not an optional carbon ola, which is totally burnt in mizbeach, but a carbon shlomim, which is partially eaten, and it's an optional shlomim. So what's the story about bringing that on Yom Tif? So Beis Shammai, according to Tosa's view, would maintain that you're not allowed to bring it on Yom Tif. But, three lines from the bottom, Ha Shalmei Nedava, Eino Loke. You don't get Malkus for bringing a Shalmei Nedava. You get Malkus for bringing an Olas Nedava, but you would not get lashes for bringing a Shalmei Nedava. And it's that chiddush that the Braisa wanted to teach by implication. Had it mentioned Olas Chova, you get Malkus for, that would teach you a greatest chiddush that not only do you get Malkus for a private Ola, which is not relevant to Yom Tov at all, you even get Malkus for a Chova Ola, which is relevant to Yom Tov, because you can't bring it on Yom Tov, you can only bring it on Chol HaMoed. According to Tosfos, it's a true halacha. But the Braisa wanted to teach you an extra chiddush with respect to shlomim. By speaking about olas nedava, that you get malchus, it wanted to make the following implication, that a Shalmei Nedava, even the strict view of Beis Shammai, who would prohibit bringing that, and simply speaking, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, even Beis Hillel would prohibit bringing that, but they only allow Karbanos that are Chovah, but even Beis Shammai would maintain that you don't get Malkus ex post facto if you did it against Halacha. Why? Kevan de'ika b'hut sorach ochel nefesh. Because at its core, it's food related. Because as we mentioned before, an ola is totally burnt to mizbeach, a shlom is eaten mostly by the owners, in part by the kohanim, and true, their fats brought on the mizbeach, but the core of the carbon is eaten. The ikabut sorach ochel nefesh, it has an aspect of food, and that is something that is permitted on Yom Tif. So you're not going to get malchus for it, because basically you're plugging in to the permit of the Torah that allows you to do food-oriented malacha. So why is it asur altogether? The Tosfos continues, avli sura miha ika. But an isura, a prohibition, at any rate, there exists. You wouldn't get malchus, but it's still asur. Mena Torah. Mishum dechsiv lachem. Because it states lachem. In order to understand this Tosfos, we have to give some additional background information from the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza, Dav Chaf Beis, points out that why is it indeed that you're not allowed to bring these optional karbonos, which the Gemara calls Nedarim and Nedavos? Why can't you bring these optional karbonos on Yom Tov? So the fact that you can't bring an Ola, so that's much more straightforward because it's not Ochel Nefesh. It's not related to food. But why can't you bring a Shlamim? Why can't you bring a Shlamim of Nedava? A holy barbecue, if you will. So the fact that it's holy, why should that detract from the Ochel Nefesh component and to be allowed to bring it on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says that Beis Shammai explained and that the famous verse that speaks about the permit of doing food malacha on Yom Tov is Ach Asher Yachel Lechol Nefesh Hu Levado Yaseh Lachem, that which is consumed by people, that alone may be done lachem, for you. So the Gemara has the following series of drushos. Two out of the three are agreed upon by everyone, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the third is certainly maintained by Beis Shammai and might even be agreed upon to some extent by Beis Hillel. That's perhaps a debate in the Rishon. The first is lachem v'lo lebehema, that you're not allowed to do malacha for animals on Yom Tov. Important to know that you can't cook for pets on Yom Tov. The second is lachem v'lo lenachrin, that lachem only applies to those who are chayiv to keep Yom Tov. But for non-Jews who are not chayiv on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook for non-Jews. That's why all things being equal, you're not allowed to invite non-Jews over to the Yom Tov table because there's a concern rabbinically that you might come to add food for them, meaning to cook for them. And finally, that's agreed upon by all. Beis Shammai maintain, maybe Beis Hillel to some extent, lachem v'lo legavoa. Lachem has to be for you, and not for things that are relevant to the service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. That's called lachem v'lo legavoa, for you and not for the one most high. So that serves as the source, according to Beis Shammai, of not being able to bring a shalmei nedava, a carbon shlamim, even though it's ochel nefesh oriented, but nonetheless, it's an exception to the rule, because it says lachem velo le gavoa. So Tosfos has the following view, which is also mentioned, as we mentioned briefly earlier, by the Tosfos in Beitza, that in order to get malchus, in order to get lashes, one has to violate a formulation of the Torah that says, thou shalt not, do not do. For example, as the Pesach Parsha, Parshas Re'eh, Kol Behema Tmeya Lo Sochelu, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher animals. So that's a Lo Sochlu, you're not allowed to eat it. So you get malchus for eating pig, or you get malchus for eating dam, or sometimes even curries, depending on what blood it is. Lo sochlu dam, not to eat the blood. It says lo, in language of thou shalt not. But sometimes the Torah formulates a prohibition, not in the language of a negative, but in the language of a positive from which we infer a negative. That, in the language of halacha, is called the lav haba miklal asei, a negative commandment that emerges from a positively formulated phrase in the Torah. Sometimes the Rishonim, the Achronim, refer to that as an iser asei, not an asei that you must do, a positive act of divine service, but a positively worded statement from which we imply that you now have to do the opposite. So, for example, the Rambam points out, based on the Gemara, that if you eat not kosher, not only do you violate a negative commandment, a not kosher animal, but you also violate an iser asei, or a lav haba miklal asei, because the Torah says, "Vizosa be'mo asher tochelu." These are the animals you eat. The implication is that the other animals you're not allowed to eat. So that not only violates a negative commandment, but also it violates the commandment expressed positively. So when the Torah says, "Lachem," that you're allowed to do food preparation for you, and not for animals, and not for non-Jews, or not keeping Yom Tov, and not legavoa, and you can't do malacha relevant to the mikdash unless there's a specific override. So you can't bring a carbon shlomim, which is related to the mikdash, even though it's also food related, but you're not allowed to do it. But why not allowed to do it? Not because of the negative commandment of lo sasa kol malacha, that you're not allowed to do work on Yom Tov, but because of the positively worded statement of the Torah of lachem, only could do work for you, but not legavoa, not for the mikdash, again, unless there's a specific permit. So a shalmei nedava, an optional carbon shlamim, which does not have a specific permit, is forbidden by the expression lachem, but it's not forbidden by the expression of the negative commandment of lo sasa kol malacha. Note the work. It's prohibited from the diuk, from the inference of lachem velo legavoa. So on such a prohibition called the lav haba miklal asei, or an iser asei, there is no malchus. So to review, Tosfos asks the kasha. The Braisa in Masechta Beitza, the Yud Beis Amud Aleph, states that Beis Shammai maintain that if you slaughter an olas nedava, an optional ola, you get malchus. Again, putting it from our perspective, we just explained, because you violate lo sasa kol malacha. You're not allowed to do work because it's not food related at all. So you're out of the scope of what's permitted on Yom Tov, and you did regular work. It's like building a house. It's like plowing the fields. You're not allowed to work on Yom Tov. So shechting a carbon ola, which is not related to food, is not permitted at all, and is part of a negative commandment. So Tosfos asks, so why didn't the Braisa state a greater chiddush that according to Beis Shammai, even though you're allowed to bring shalmei chagiga, which is the obligatory shlomim on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to bring the olas ria, which is the obligatory ola, and that also Tosfos maintained that you get malchus for according to Beis Shammai. So why didn't the Braisa say that? It's a greater chiddush that even though it's relevant to Yom Tov, you're still not allowed to do it on Yom Tov, you get malchus. Why did the Braisa focus on olas nedava? So leaving aside the aborted answer, Tosis' answer is that you're right. According to Beis Shammai, olas ria would also get malchus. But the reason it chose to state olas nedava is to teach you a chiddush from the diuk, that had you brought a shalmei nedava, an optional carbon shlomim, you would not get malchus. And why don't you get malchus? Beis Shammai maintain, and here the conclusion of the Gemara is even Beis Hillel agree to this, but Beis Shammai maintain that you're not allowed to bring that optional carbon shlomim on Yom Tov. So Tosfos explains that true, you're not allowed to do it, but you're not allowed to do it by dint of an iser asei of lachem velo legavoa. But it's not correct that you're not allowed to do it because of the lav, the negative commandment of lo sasa kol malacha. And since it's not under the purview of the framework of lo sasa kol malacha, there's no malchus. And that's exactly the chiddush that the Braisa wanted to teach you, that there is malchus for olas ria, because that's a violation of lo sasa kol malacha. It's not food related. But there's no malchus for shalmei nedava, an optional carbon shalom, because that is food related, and it's only prohibited, if you will, through a back door, because of lachem velo legavoa, that you're not allowed to do carbon-oriented things, and not because of the formal negative commandment of lo sasa kol malacha.